Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
It kind of is nice to take a little bit of the attention off the sting of the Bears and talk about the Odyssey softball team.
Absolutely.
Spiegs, we talked about in the first 40 minutes that we did softball stuff that there was a really bad call in the 11th inning where there should have been a strikeout to end the game.
A high pitch is taken to home for a ball. I thought that was going to be a called strike three to finish the lead.
The umpire from that game, the home plate umpire, Mike Lewis.
I'm the man at the ballpark everyone hates.
The umpire?
No, Billy Crystal.
Whoa!
Mike, you blew a call last night in the 11th.
Mike!
No, that's not true. Okay, the foul is deep, man. There's no way I could have called that a strike if I wanted to. It was too deep.
You are Jabroni Empire.
Mike, respectfully, your name will go down with Joe West and Dankinger as some of the worst umpiring in the history of umpire. You blew it.
And you blew it! You blew it.
That's not fair.
He blew it.
That's not fair.
One call.
No, Mike.
You blew it.
Mike,
it's a judgment call.
Mike, you blew it.
Hey, I love you, buddy, but you blew it. You blew it. Fish.
Hey, you sound like a lovely guy. Just a terrible umpire.
Oh. Shut up, Mark.
No. Hey, man, listen.
Just get over there and umpire, will you? I tell you what, just wanted to stick it right up his behind, and he did.
Should have never got to that pitch, Mike Dankinger.
Is Shane a good player?
I'm excited to see Shane every time he steps on the field.
He just had to overcome the reader and your bad strike zone. We know. I'm just kidding, Mike.
Wow.
I'm just kidding.
Wow.
I'm just kidding, but it's true.
He just goes to show you, he had been struck out. Had the whole plate. Umpire misses a call. It's just amazing how one pitch can change the whole ball game.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
So much to choose from within the pantheon of baseball sound when it comes to bitching about umpires. Especially with one pitch as perfect, because Hawk is right. One pitch, man, change everything. Especially if it's a 1-1 pitch. But my God, I'd say that Danny Parkins took a heel turn yesterday, but it's not really a turn. It's just more of a straight line, right? You start out as a heel and you just keep going straight towards heel in that way. Bottom of the hour is being brought to you by DuckDuckGo. It's Parkins and Spiegel on the Score. My God, I think he was just doing a bit, right? He was leaning in honor of the late Norm MacDonald. He was like you do with a heckler, just go harder and harder until you're absolutely loathed and Danny had to be escorted to his car at the end of the show.
I told him I was proud of him for doing that. Lean into it. Like, if you're going to do the bit, do it, you know? Be that guy. Someone's got to do it.
Well,
you guys are kept caping for bad umpiring.
For bad softball umpiring. Yeah, that's right. And Shane would have just kept on caping. Mike's a good guy. Oh, he comes out there.
Yeah, he's lobbying for the calls for next season. So does he do your current leagues?
No, okay. He doesn't do my rec leagues.
After going so hard on softball content yesterday, I'm a little leery. But I do have to bring it up. You played two more games last night with that ridiculous finger. Yeah. Is it still broken? Have you done anything to it?
It's a little bit more swollen today because I took a liner to that left hand yesterday at third. It's my own fault. I talked to a couple nurse friends. Dan and Layla made fun of me about this today in the midway because, once again, they couldn't get through an entire show without using me as an hour of content.
Correct.
Yeah, I stand by that.
And as I've said before, Dan's been out of thought since 2007.
Yeah, that might even be pushing it a little bit.
It's possible.
But I played two more games last night and quickly realized that at 29, broken finger or not, four games in two nights in that humidity is just simply too much softball for me to be playing.
Just breathing-wise, dehydration-wise?
No, I'm fine shape cardio-wise. I'm just exhausted. Like, my muscles hurt.
Gotcha.
Like I'm sore today.
Yeah, there's a point that you hit. I remember when I used to go and play tennis on Tuesday nights and Friday nights when I was living out west for a little while. And on one of the Tuesday nights, I'm like, you know what? I think before I play, I'm going to take some ibuprofen. That's what I'm going to do. Like, there's a point where you preemptively take the aspirin or the painkiller that you've taken after every once in a while.
So. I take four before every game.
You do?
Yeah, take four before every game.
Is that legal?
I pretty much take four before every morning I wake up.
Is that legal in the Cup League?
Doesn't matter. That being said, though.
Doesn't matter. How about that? Flaunting the freaking rules. What about the kids, man? What about Ruben?
It speaks of the loosey-goosey era, okay?
You know, we all just turned a blind eye, you know?
What do you think we were talking to Ruben about when he was down in the dugout with
us? I don't know.
Competitive advantage, baby.
I gave up like an hour and a half of parenting time to a bunch of Odyssey softball people. And what you people have done, I don't know. Actually, so far, it's all been good. It's good. You're a bunch of nice people.
That being said, Speaks, I am tired. But if anybody out there is looking for an extra tonight and you're playing in Lincoln Park or somewhere in the area, I am available.
You're obsessed. You're obsessed. You're breaking down film of at-bats from the other night. Yep. You're like, look at the defensive alignment. They're not expecting me to go to right center. And yet you do. You're very, very excited, and I understand.
I love softball so much.
There it is. He loves it.
I don't even need a woman at this point. Hey, DMs are closed. I've got softball to keep me warm.
You should leave those open in case a softball manager of some kind.
Yeah, DMs back open. I just open them back up.
Just for softball.
Sex or softball.
Here's what I love about the Justin Fields situation. I feel like we don't have to do anything in terms of formulating a Justin Fields topic or an interview or a take, I should say, or like, just going hard on an opinion, because the national media is all doing it for us. They have caught up. They've all caught up, and they're doing it. They're having the conversations we have been having for months. The fallout is all the same arguments we have lived for months. It is exhausting. And, you know, some of the basic stuff that needs to be said about that on a daily basis is being taken care of by the opinionists out there in the take-a-sphere or whatever. So, and I'm sure that's crossing your timeline if you're on the Twitter enough. Maybe it's reaching you through the media enough. So there's not going to be a lot of that for me today. There'll be a little because, you know, at some point, and I hinted at this with Hub yesterday, I think Matt Nagy's going to start needing Justin Fields pretty darn soon here. I think he's going to start needing him. And I've got that take all lined up and ready to go. But, you know, that's all right. We'll do that another time. What I really want to talk with you about when we come back in a minute is a cycle I find myself in with Bears head coaches. And I wonder if you're there too. I wonder what there is to be done about it and what I should do the next time I have the opportunity to cut off this cycle somewhere in the vicious circle. That'll come up next as we are with you on Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
I'm proud to be able to pair with Matt and attack our plan for success together. With that, I'd like to introduce the new head coach of the Chicago Bears, Matt Nagy.
So Matt Nagy comes from the Andy Reid tree.
More arrogance by Matt Nagy.
Here's what's sticking with me from Sunday night's game on a Turn the Page Wednesday. Just a couple of things lingering from Sunday night. And then we'll spend the rest of the week and some of the show talking about the Bengals game, the next game, and do a lot of baseball in between. It's Spiegs Solo with you on 670 The Score on Parkins and Spiegel. So what's lingering with me is the look of Matt Nagy being so completely overwhelmed as soon as that game ended. Just the look on his face as he's running off the field of, oh boy, that was ugly. And like one of the first things he said in the presser, and he said it a bunch of times, was that was real football. That was real football. And I think
that was real football now for everybody, right? On all three phases, that was real football.
Dude was overwhelmed. And it's like he knew that the lies he has been spinning have been exposed. Like the jig is up, man. He knows it's a sham and he got exposed and he's got a lot of work to do. And he's not going to be able to lie to the public and the media as much as he was about certain things, or lie to himself, you know, frankly, or he and Ryan Pace backpat each other. And, you know, do the same thing towards Bears ownership and the great backpatting society that they have established and showcased for you in the end of season press conference. It's like, oh boy, no, that's, we have to play the games. Oh yeah, that's right. We have to play the games. And every time I hear him speak, Matt Nagy, and this, it was happening a bunch in the offseason, but it's especially so now that we're here, he's crossed a threshold of sorts for me, where it has become, for the most part, coach speak emptiness, covering up failings, covering up inadequacies, retroactively praising things that happened to go well and saying that's what they actually wanted to do. Obviously, obfuscating every chance he gets and not really answering questions as much as humanly possible. And I think that most football coaches eventually cross that threshold for me. And I wonder if that's the case for you. Like, I'll admit that most of the Bears coaches, in fact, I think all of the Bears coaches in my media lifetime, certainly, having been here since 94 in that sense, at the Score and other places, you know, a little bit in between, but started the Score in 94. And I usually enjoy coaches at the beginning of their tenure. And then I slowly kind of grow frustrated, not just by like the failings, because nobody's won a Super Bowl in there. I don't know if you guys are aware, but nobody's won a Super Bowl the whole time since 94. Thank you. You're welcome. But also just the emptiness, the eventual coach speak emptiness that seems to overtake them all. It goes back to Wani here for me. So like when Wani comes, it's like, oh, that's great. This is not Ditka. Thank God I was done with Ditka. This too shall pass. A lot of people were done with Ditka. Let's have a new school football mentality guy. Oh, yeah, Jimmy Johnson from the Jimmy Johnson tree. That's right. The Cowboys, they're bringing in college stuff, and they're doing things smartly and aggressively, and it's younger, and it's hipper, and it's Wani. All right. And then by the end, it's like, oh, wait a minute. He might be kind of a football sort of simpleton, frankly. Like, he can't figure out offense to save his life. And he's just super football-y and kind of simple. Yeah, I'm done with Wani. And then you get Dick Geron. So smart. Ivy League guy. Dude played safety at Yale. He's going to think this through. He's going to big brain some wins for the Bears. Oh, look, interesting assistant coach hires. Gary.
It's not my show, but I'm on that show.
Gary Croton and his Razzle Dazzle are here. Look at this. Oh, Dick Geron's not afraid to be creative. All right. Then a few years in, eventually you're like, oh boy, that guy is dull. He is dry. He's not tough enough. You know what? I don't think he can relate. I think, you know, he is too cerebral. This, no way. We need a football man. That's what we need. And here comes Lovie Smith. Stoic, quietly dignified, demands respect. And boy, That worked, and I mean publicly, for a long, long time. And I'll say that this one, I didn't really turn on Lovie towards the end like a lot of people did. I know so many did. I held love for Lovie longer than most. But a lot of people were like, oh God, all right, he says nothing. I'm so bored. And they never figured out offense still. So like, oh no, you can't do that. All right, stoic and dignified, respect football man. How about an offensive mind? Can we have one of those? And then here came Mark Trestman. And the freshness continued. Finally, an offensive genius. Can you admit to feeling some of this even at the beginning of the Trestman run? He's from the Bill Walsh tree. He's an outside-the-box creative guy. He wrote a book, didn't he? A new age communicator.
You read the book, didn't
you? I did. I did. I bought the book. Did readings from the book once a week. He wrote the Helping Friendly book.
So you would say you bought the plan.
I literally bought Trestman's book. But you know what? It's like it was time after all that lovey. Could somebody who knows how to do something on offense? I really think this league is going towards offense. Can we do that non-football tradition tough guy too? It's like that sort of worked. And then it was pretty quickly. Wait, his offense doesn't seem to work very well. Oh, and he's full of crap. He seems to be full of crap. He lies to his team and tells them they practiced well when his own team knows that wasn't the case. His new agey stuff actually is really super weird and not that useful. And he can't relate. It's just, oh, this is not a football. We need a football guy again. And then John Fox comes in, finally an adult, a football man, tough, stoic again. He demands respect. He relates to players. He's in the workout room with them. That guy's lifting with them. Remember John Fox? He's lifting with the D linemen. Finally, that's what we need. Then eventually it's like he says nothing. Guy never says anything. He actually, now that I look around, I don't believe that John Fox has built anything of consequence here at all. There's no unit that's good or has gotten any better. They just have been bad, bad, and more bad. You know what? He ought to be done with coaching. He ought to be done with coaching. And eventually he was. And then here comes Nagy. And for the first time ever, the hot offensive coordinator from the league's best offense, taking a branch directly from the great offensive tree. The Bears had never done that, which was such a common way to go find an NFL head coach. And I was excited about that. A modern communicator, it seemed, right? He's loose. He's fun. And then we get here, and I find myself thinking, boy, this guy, I believe he's overwhelmed. I believe he is overwhelmed by the whole thing. What, he hasn't talked to the safeties yet about that thing where they didn't touch the guy? What? Huh? He's back play calling again. He seems to know one offense. He keeps trying to force round pegs into the square hole. What is he doing? And every time I go through this cycle with a Bears head coach now, going back, God, almost 30 years, every time I sort of realize it comes a sense of exhaustion and eventually some resignation. And if we're not careful, some cynicism. And I freaking hate cynicism. I hate it. I'm cynical about cynicism. But are we just doomed to a world where all Bears coaches end up feeling like this? And is it football specific? That's what I'm wondering as well. If it's just like football coaches eventually sound like this. They drive you crazy, and eventually you're like, that is trash. It's garbage. I know what's going to happen. You're not even talking about it. You're trying to lie to me. So maybe it's specific to football in that sense, too.
Well, there's a couple of common threads with all of those guys. They all share their same miserable existence in their tenure. You had no quarterback to speak of.
Correct.
Other than Cutler, and they tried to double and triple down on building an offense around him, and it worked for a little while, but then they forgot about, oh, yeah, there's still that defense thing that you have to worry about.
That's the thing is we look at Cutler's numbers, and we're like, you know what? Overall, those are not that bad. They're the best. There's Tressman in there.
Second year of Tressman was fun.
There's Tressman in there. There's Lovey in there. Ron Turner. There's all sorts of different people in there that you credit.
And also bad drafting.
Really bad horrendous drafting. Really, really bad drafting. Some marginal free agent decisions and never having a freaking quarterback. And that is the constant. And that's why we end up so focused on Fields. That's why we end up dreaming. It's why we look at quarterback stats and get so disgusted and frustrated and look around the league with such envy. But yeah, I will cop to that cycle that takes place in the media, and I suspect within fans as well, because we want to be optimistic. We want to believe that that things like this can happen for the Chicago Bears and for you.
Speaks, there's something we're overlooking here, though.
Yes.
This text from the 630. My friend is Hungarian, so is Matt Nagy. They are both the most stubborn people I know.
So we're overlooking that, his Eastern European Hungarian nature.
Consider the fact that he's got family lineage from Hungary, and this makes all the sense in the world. because of the 630's friend.
You think so?
I've often said on this station we don't talk about people's ethnicities enough.
Especially and why the Hungarians.
I agree. That's why we miss Mike North.
The Hungarians are insufferable people, apparently, according to the 630. Allegedly, according to the 630. Allegedly.
Okay. That's not
the
you.
630. No,
you're
no,
you're just
no.
passing that
I'm
on
reading
from
the 630. 630.
About his one friend. Small sample size?
A very stubborn people, the Hungarians.
A very stubborn group.
Of which Matt Nagy obviously is.
And now I'd like to know, what is Hungarian cuisine?
Dump them.
Because I don't.
That's too much.
No, there might be. There might
dump,
be something.
Dump them.
There might be something delicious.
I think it's similar to Croatia. Like cevapi, I think, is Hungarian.
Why are you saying it's similar to Croatia?
Because I think their food is similar.
What, really?
Yeah, I think their cuisine
is similar.
But you
know
it. He would know. Shane would know.
Well, Shane would know. What rosemary is Croatian-inspired, and it's the coast of Croatia, much like it's on the Mediterranean. It's right near Italy, right? Huh? How about that? Right about that? I don't know.
Don't worry. He's researching everything he needs to know.
Flavorverse.com, 15 classic Hungarian foods that will blow your mind.
Oh, really?
So and right below a Carmax
How many of them are goulash? How many of those?
The first one. The national dish, number one.
Nailed
goulash.
It.
Delicious.
Nailed it.
Goulash. Love it.
All right. Bananas.
All right, this is
love
not
them.
Very similar to Croatian
okay.
food, by the way.
I'm going to need some goulash. I'm going to need, can we do victory goulash this year in honor of Matt Nagy? What we see now,
like
goulash.
A lot of chocolates.
But goulash is what? Goulash is. I'm going
like
to guess
stew.
Potato based. It's a stew with potato and meat and some indigenous spices and vegetables. Good night, everybody.
It's European cooking, right there for you.
It's world cooking. What are you talking about? Need a starch around here.
This is really just beef stew.
Is it?
But add paprika.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Bananas. I love them.
But put some bananas in there, then you can get less over. Les, I made some goulash.
And you got a stew going.
Then yeah, everybody brings something over. You put it in there. Les won't come over, though, unless I put bananas in my goulash. There's a sentence I didn't expect to say this morning when I woke
oh,
up.
Oh, hell yeah.
Lots of your texts coming in on the
love
topic.
The Hungarians.
Yeah, you love them. You love them and all of their goulash. All of their stuff.
Bananas. I love them.
Mm-hmm. Lots of your texts coming in. I want to gather them. And I'm thinking about this because it's not just me that's guilty of it. You're guilty of it too, aren't you? Is it football specific? What's that about? It's intriguing to me. And we will get to the White Sox biggest problem, in my opinion, the Kimbrel conundrum at some point during the next hour. Keep it right here on 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.